worship him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, another week, another opportunity to worship and praise you. We pray now that you would speak to each one of our hearts. Draw us near to you. May we feel your presence. May we feel your love. May we feel your grace. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. In your Methodist hymnal, number 133, it's been a while since you've seen these books, hasn't it? All right. I invite you to join with me now as we share together in the Apostles' Creed, this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share? Good to see Teresa back with us. Welcome. Yes.
Ask for prayers for my wife and her family. She's up in London, on her way to London right now. And to see her mother. Mother's in
Thank you. And that's London, Kentucky, right? Okay, I was just in Corbin this past week, so had I known, I could have swung up there and visited. But do keep them in your prayers. Okay, yes. Prayers for traveling mercies. Prayers for our pinch hitter. All right. We have two grandchildren that need your prayers. Cheyenne just turned 13 on Wednesday. She definitely needs your prayer. And then Ray Chalmers, Lord, our 28-year-old grandson. We're going to be taking him to Murphy, North Carolina on Tuesday. He's beginning a new chapter in his life over there, so do keep him in your prayers. Again, a very definite need there. Any others? Somehow I think in moments like this, God is just smiling at our technology. Okay, let's do it. Here we go. Got any rivers? As I was saying, I think we take these things much more seriously than God does. He's looking at the heart. With that in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we give you thanks and praise this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with all of your children everywhere. Not everyone's able to be here this morning. We've got those that are traveling to Kentucky. We've got those that are traveling this next week on vacation. We've got those that are going to North Carolina. We've got those that need your prayers here. We pray this morning, Lord, that you be with each one of them. Remind us that you care about us. You care about everything that concerns us. Lord, you care about our relationships with each other, even with ourselves, with children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents. You care about our pets. You care about our health. You care about our wealth or lack of. Help us to realize just how much you do care. Your word says that we can cast our every care upon you because you care for us. So we just pray this morning, Lord, that you'd be with each one. May we feel your presence. May we feel your power. May we feel your joy in the midst of this crazy, mixed up world that we're living in. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let me remind you that the offering receptacles are at either door. I think it'd probably be good next week if we went back to having ushers, don't you? Yes. We just pass the plates. Now, what we can do, the way you all are seated right now, unless we have an overflow crowd next week, I think the ushers could just go through and hand the plate to each one so not everybody's handling it. That would work okay for me, work okay for you. So great, plan on bringing a big offering next week and we'll give you a chance to drop it right in the plate. Was that subtle enough, Wanda? Yes. All right, okay, yeah. Okay, but we appreciate your faithfulness through all of this. It has been an interesting time for the church. Do we have a doxology or not, Keith? I can live with it either way. You may be seated. Many of you will remember that on TV there used to be a religious program called the PTL Club. Anybody remember what PTL stood for? Praise the Lord. That was then and this is now. Things are kind of different now than they have been, aren't they? I responded to a thing on Facebook the other day, talked about asking who remembered who their fifth grade teacher was, and I put down that Mr. Somers was the one that took our whole fifth grade class to New York City for 3 days. I said, but that was the 1953 New York City, not the 2021 New York City. Times have changed, haven't they? So today, we probably need to expand that instead of praise the Lord. It probably ought to be PTLA, praise the Lord anyhow. Okay? And that's what it's all about. Jesus knows what we're going through. He knows the mess that this world is in. I don't believe that Jesus has a political party. Though both sides have tried to claim him occasionally. But we need to remember that God is in control through it all. God knows what we're going through. God understands our high times and our low times. You remember the shortest verse in the Bible reminds us that even Jesus wept. Okay? He understands our tears. That's when he gets the closest to us. Many of you have heard this song before. It's a song that's very special to Catherine and I. Mother's Day of 95, we lost our son Ray in an auto accident. Ray was hearing impaired. And prior to the accident, he and I would do a duet on this song. He would sign it, and I would sing it. So it's very special to us, and it's a reminder to you and to me and to us that it's for those tears that he died. You'd come and share all my sorrows, and you said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came here to stay. I just had to pray.
And Jesus said,
come to the waters,
stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. And I felt every tear drop when in darkness you cried. And I'm here to remind you that for those tears I
I give you my heart and my soul, and I know that without you I'd never be whole. Savior, you've opened all the right doors, and I thank you and I praise you from earth's humble shore. Jesus, I'm yours. The words are in your worship folder.
And Jesus said,
come to the waters,
stand by my side. I know you are thirsty. You won't be denied.
And I felt every tear drop
when in darkness you cried. And I'm here to remind you that for those tears I died.
Sing it again.
And Jesus said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied.
And I felt every tear drop
when in darkness those tears I'd cry.
I always used to think that if a person was a Christian, they always had one of those big Walmart smiley faces on. But it's not always that way, is it? There are times when the tears flow, when you think your heart's going to break, when you just feel like you can't take any more. That's when he draws the closest to remind us that for those tears he died.
All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Every single solitary ones of us have what the writer called dark nights of the soul, when it just seems like we're way down the bottom of a deep dark hole. Life happens. We have those times when we go through physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual pain and suffering. I'm sure Simon Peter could relate to that. Remember when he realized that the one that he had just denied three times was being crucified? He was probably thinking about that when he picked up his quill and he started writing our text for today. In this short passage of Scripture, there are six eternal truths that'll help us to live beyond pandemics, politics, and protest as children of God. The first of those truths that we need to remember is that we have a boundless mercy. I'll honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it's by his boundless mercy. Mercy is compassionate treatment for those who don't deserve it or who can't afford it. You remember the two blind men on the Jericho Road cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." The 10 lepers in Luke 17 cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The publican in Luke 18 said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Warren Wiersbe, the prolific gospel writer, or writer about gospels, said that grace is what God gives me that I don't deserve. Mercy is what God does not give me that I do deserve. Secondly, we have a new birth. All honor and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Number three, we have a living hope. Peter said, "Now we live with a wonderful expectation." We all know of people that go through life moping. There are those people that go through life groping. There are those who seem that they can barely be coping. But for the child of God, it becomes a time of hoping. Now, this hoping isn't just an empty positivism. It's not putting on that Walmart happy face in spite of everything else. But it's an optimism that is grounded in the promises of God. We can be excited about the here and now in spite of everything that's going on, just as we should be about the by and by. How in the world can we make it through day by day with all the stuff that's going on? You know, we all want to make things better. That's known as a ameliorative disposition. Are you impressed? Yeah. Okay, that means you want to try to make things better, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's very obnoxious. But this is one of the areas where I have a problem with these rioters and anarchists. Now, I'm not going to get into politics, but I did see something online the other day that I thought was interesting. All of the workers at the condo in Miami that collapsed, they had a prayer service. And here they were standing there side by side with their hard hats and their equipment on and everything else, with their heads bowed in prayer. At the bottom it said, okay, so where is BLM and the anarchist now? I could go even further and mention some specific names of individuals where every time there's a big crisis, they want to be right there in front of the camera. But when things happen like this, where people need somebody to lend a helping hand, they're nowhere to be found because they know they wouldn't be center focus on the cameras. These people, I wonder if they're being part of the solution or if they're a major part of the problem. Problem. It must be lunchtime. I don't know. As children of God, how are we supposed to respond to all this stuff that's going on? I don't care what your political affiliation is. I don't care what your presidential preferences are. I do care, but we're not going to get into that today. We need to be praying for our national leaders, past, present, and future. We need to be lifting them up. But what can you and I do down here in Rockwood, Tennessee, to make the world a better place? Let me share with you again the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Might give you something to think about this week. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it's in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. There are things in life that we can't do much about. We just have to realize that that's the way it is. It's good to have some of our good friends from Chevron with us this morning. I shared with them that my son Dave will be 55 in December. When he was 3 years old, we were out on a bike ride. I had him in a seat on the back of my bicycle. Went up over the interstate on the overpass, and we stopped there to watch the traffic. Right beside us on the pavement was a little, looked like a little patch of black shag carpeting. Dave says, "What's that?" I said, "That was a cat." He started crying. He says, "Can we take it to the doctor?" Well, that's probably one of those things that we can't do too much about. We can't control all of life's situations, but we need to realize that we belong to the one who can control the ones that really matter. Bill Gaither wrote, "He holds the future in the palm of his hand, and he has never failed me yet. I know he's reigning and he still has control, so why should I worry or fret? I believe, I believe, I believe, so why should I worry or fret?" Number four, we serve a risen Lord. Peter said, "God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we can live a wonderful with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Our burdens are swallowed up by the empty tomb. Our tomorrows are as bright as the flash of his resurrection victory." Number five, we have a priceless inheritance. For God has preserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Things are changing all around us. Things that were true 20 years ago seem to not be true, or they want us to believe they're not true today. But our inheritance through Jesus Christ will never change. And finally, number six, we are assured of God's protection. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting in him. Sometimes it's kind of hard to have faith when we see everything that's going on, isn't it? Our world has changed so much. Changing every day, and it's very often not for the better. We need to realize that no matter what happens in life, there is one who is in control. Let me share a couple of stories with you that I think illustrate this very well. Today, we're 2 months away from 9/11. I think most of us remember that. I think most of us are old enough to remember it, and maybe some of us are old enough that we're forgetting now, but just 2 months away from our 20th anniversary of 9/11. A man by the name of Robert Matthews from Norfolk, Virginia, 2 years after 9/11, on September 11th, 2003, he called a local radio station to share this story from his own life. He said, "A few weeks before September 11th, my wife and I found out that we're going to have our first child. Later, she planned a trip to California to visit her sister. On the way to the airport, we prayed that God would grant her a safe trip. Then we heard a loud pop and the car shook violently. We'd blown a tire. We replaced it as quickly as we could, but my wife had missed her flight. Very upset, we drove home. As we walked into the house, I received a call from my father, who was retired from the New York Fire Department. He asked what my wife's flight number was. I told him, but then I told him that she had missed her flight. My father informed me that her flight was the one that had crashed into the South Tower of the World Trade Center. I was too shocked to speak. My father had more news for me. He was going to help. He said, I can't just sit by. I have to do something. I was concerned for his safety, of course, but more because he had never given his life to Christ. After a brief debate, I knew that his mind was made up. Before he got off the phone, he said, "Please take good care of my grandchild." Those were the last words I heard my father say. He died in the rescue effort. My joy that my prayer for safety from my wife had been answered quickly became anger. I was angry with God, angry with my father, and angry with myself. For 2 years, I blamed God for taking my father away. My son would never know his grandfather. My father had never accepted Christ. I never got to say goodbye. Then, about 2 months ago, I was sitting at home with my wife and my son when there was a knock on the door. I opened the door to a couple with a small child. The man asked if my father's name was Jake Matthews. I told him it was. He quickly grabbed my hand and said, "I never got the chance to meet your father, but it is an honor to meet his son." He then explained that his wife worked in the south tower of the World Trade Center, and she had been trapped inside after the attack. She was pregnant and had been caught under the debris. He then explained that my father was the one who found her and freed her. My eyes welled up with tears as I thought of my father giving his life for people like this. Then he said, "There's something else you need to know." His wife then told me that while my father worked to free her, she led him to Christ. He said, "I began sobbing at the news. Now I know that when I get to heaven, my father will be standing there beside Jesus to welcome me, and this family would be able to thank him themselves." And when their baby boy was born, they named him Jacob Matthew, in honor of the man who gave his life so that mother and baby could live. Let me share one more story with you. This is written in the man's own words. He says, "The year was 1932. I was 32 years old and a fairly new husband. My wife Nettie and I were living in a little apartment on Chicago's south side. One hot August afternoon, I had to go to St. Louis, where I was to be featured soloist at a large revival meeting. I didn't want to go. Nettie was in the last month of pregnancy with our first child, but a lot of people were expecting me to be in St. Louis. I kissed Nettie goodbye, got into our Model A, and headed out of Chicago. On Route 66, just outside the city, I discovered that in my haste, I had forgotten my briefcase with all of my music. When I got back home, I found Nettie sleeping peacefully. I hesitated by her bed. Something was strongly telling me to stay. But eager to get on my way and not wanting to disturb Nettie, I shrugged off the feeling and left. The next night, in the steaming St. Louis heat, the crowd called for me to sing again and again. When I finally finished, a messenger boy ran up with a Western Union telegram. I ripped open the envelope and pasted on the yellow sheet with the words, "Your wife just died." I rushed to the phone and called home. All I could hear on the other end was, "Nettie is dead. Nettie is dead." When I got back, I learned that my wife had given birth to a boy. I swung between grief and joy. That night, the baby died. I buried Nettie and our little son in the same casket. Then I fell apart. For days, I closeted myself. I felt that God had done me an injustice. I didn't want to serve him anymore or write gospel songs. I just wanted to go back to the jazz world that I knew so well. But then, as I hunched alone in that dark apartment those first sad days, I thought back to the afternoon that I went to St. Louis. Something kept telling me to stay with Nettie. Was that God? If I'd paid more attention to him that day, I would have stayed and would have been with her when she died. From that moment on, I vowed to listen more closely to God, but I was still lost in my grief. Everyone was kind to me, especially a friend, Professor Fry, who seemed to know just what I needed. On the following Saturday evening, he took me to a neighborhood music school. It was quiet. The late evening sun crept through the curtain windows. I sat down at the piano and my hands began to browse over the keys. Something happened to me. I felt at peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a new melody, and the notes and the lyrics just seemed to fall into place. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired and I'm weak and I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. As the Lord gave me these words and melody, he healed my spirit. I learned that when we're in our deepest grief and when we feel furthest from God, God is the closest to us, and it is then that we are open most to God's restoring power. Now I go on living for God willingly and hopefully and joyfully until that day comes when God will lead me home. Hopefully from these two stories we can realize that while we may not be able to see the reason for things that happen, and we may never know the side of heaven, God is always in control. Because Christ lives, we can live an abundant life that is forgiven and forever. We should lift up our heads, our hearts, and our hands, and day by day remember to give all honor and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would speak to our hearts. Remind us, Lord, that in spite of what life brings our way, in spite of what might happen in Washington, D.C., or Portland, Oregon, or California, or any place else, you are in control. May we dare to place our hand in yours in simple childlike faith, believing that you will lead us here and lead us home. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together. Sing number 474 in your Methodist hymnal. Precious Lord, take my hand.
I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. The storm, through the night, no matter what, God's still there. Lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, when my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. lead me on, lest I come. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Darkness appears, and the night draws near, and the at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
That was another great thing about the good old days. When things didn't go right, I could always say, it's a piano player. All right. Now may you leave this place filled to overflowing with God's loving grace as you go out into a world that is going crazy, ready to show them what the wonderful love of God can do. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.